In 2018, 2019, and 2020, St. John's Lutheran Church of Northfield is conducting oral histories of its members. My name is Judy Carlson, and today we'll be interviewing St. John's member, Leif Knecht, a longtime member of our congregation. Welcome, Leif.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to hearing your St. John's story. So let's start out with your telling me and those who are eventually going to be listening, how it is that you became a St. John's member.
Well, my parents brought me to this church when I was a little toddler. That's how I started attending St. John's back in the early 1950s. Some of my first memories were coming here to church now and then with them. And Pastor Bergeson and Pastor Bjorn were the two pastors at that time in the late 50s, which is kind of where my memories go back to.
Sure.
So, you know, one thing I think is might be of interest is that my mother, Suzanne, was a war refugee and an immigrant. And she and her family fled for their lives from Shanghai, where she grew up, because the communists were about to win the Chinese Civil War, and capitalists like my grandfather and his family might have been persecuted, likely would have been persecuted. And so the great emphasis that's been growing in our church here at St. John's on reaching out to those who experience profound disruption in their lives and become refugees and become immigrants, it means an awful lot to me, going back 60, 70 years in the experience of my family.
Amazing. Yes.
So.
From Shanghai.
Yeah.
And then did they come to directly to Minnesota?
They went, Mom's family went to Bangkok and later to Taiwan and several other places in the world as the decades rolled by. But my mother was sent to Paris to continue her studies after they had settled in Bangkok. And that's where she met and married my father, Loring Knecht, who grew up in Bismarck, North Dakota, and was there studying as well. So, you know, we have, like many, many families, this is not unusual, that this tapestry of change and disruption and moving around the world and finding new starts, that is so common. And a lot of people, a sadness for me today, is that a lot of people in our country have forgotten yes. that immigrant history is part of their history.
Yes,
and
yes.
I think we will all benefit from being reminded of that and recognizing it and embracing it. And I love the fact that St. John's makes a point of doing that as a congregation.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Even the song we sang in church this morning to the tune of Away in the Manger, a child away in the danger.
I sang a few bars and I broke up. I sang a few more bars yes. and I broke up because it hit me so hard.
Yes.
That song. So.
Especially as you were about to tell your story about your
yes.
parents.
Yes. So I'm ever so grateful that this congregation is here and has a rich history of welcoming immigrants. It is a church of immigrants.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
You raised such an interesting point. So here your parents are in France. And
Dad was working on his PhD, and Mom was recovering. She had been a medical school student, but she had to drop out because she got tuberculosis. And she was recovering from TB when she met my dad.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So.
And how did they land in Northfield?
Well, Dad had been recruited by St. Olaf College to come and teach. And he was in France finishing work on his doctorate, and that's when he met my mother. Uh-huh. And in those days, it was not highly unusual for the college to promise somebody a position even before they completed their graduate work. And that was the case with my dad. I know it was the case with Arnold Flotten, one of his favorite people, who was also a member of this congregation. Yes. It was very different in those days. Mm-hmm. And so, through the good fortune, Dad had a position here lined up at St. Olaf College, and they brought me here when I was 2 months old.
Oh.
They ever so briefly spent a few months in Bismarck when they got back from Europe, and then we've been Northfielders ever since the summer of 1951.
Oh my! So you were born? Were you born in France?
No, I was born in Bismarck.
In Bismarck.
They got married in France, and I got my start, I think, rather early on, and. They came back 7 or 8 months later, and my poor mother, she arrived in Bismarck 8 months pregnant to a place that had a totally different feel to it.
Yes.
And Dad had 50 cents left in his pocket when he got there. And, you know, so, but that was not uncommon either.
What a story.
These stories are so common. If people would remember them, retell them, embrace them as part of their heritage.
Yes.
And I feel like there's permission here at St. John's to share that kind of thing.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So not only was the language most likely unique for your mom, the North Dakota, the climate was different. The people were new to her.
Yep.
She was about to have a child.
Yep.
She was fairly newly married.
Yep.
And she persevered.
She did. And, you know, it was an awful lot of change in her life. And, you know, it's only when you get a little older that you appreciate these things.
Yes, absolutely.
You don't think of that at all when you're a child. But in these later years, I've come to have a deep appreciation for that and all the other people in our nation, in our town, in our congregation who shared similar kinds of experiences in their lives.
Yes.
And I so appreciate being able to come to a church where starting over as an immigrant is welcomed, embraced, and uplifted.
Yes, yes. And honored those folks that do that.
Yes.
And they aren't turned away, but welcomed.
So,
yes, that's a wonderful...
And, you know, one of the interesting things is when I was a child growing up, my parents were not very involved with St. John's Lutheran. It was a nominal membership for them. They were intellectuals, and they let themselves kind of get hypnotized by that a little bit. Didn't find an interest in participating in church life here. I was sent to Sunday school by my parents. And I remember vividly walking from our home on Orchard Street to 3.5 blocks to get here. They had given me a dime, 10 cents, for the offering at Sunday school. And it's funny how you react to things when you're a child, but I didn't feel like that was me giving that 10 cents. And on my way through the schoolyard at Longfellow School, I had this visceral reaction where I threw that dime down a window well because I felt it wasn't me giving. And I went on to church and to Sunday school. And that was a struggle. But some wonderful people here at St. John's, particularly Millie Berg, who was my fifth grade Sunday school teacher, there was something about the way Millie reached out to me and that made me feel like this was an okay place to be, even with all of my doubts and all of my confusion and all my anger. She made it a good, safe place to be. Bless her heart.
Yes.
And I was so honored when she called me to her bedside just before she died and asked me to give a eulogy for her. So, it came full circle. That's what I'm seeing here at St. John's, with all of these people we have in this congregation who also have things that come full circle in their life. Mm-hmm. And it's really wonderful. You know, I cherish it. And Millie Berg wasn't the only person at this church who was so important in me growing up, learning to love things, like Carolyn Jennings.
Yes.
My choir director in the junior choir here at St. John's, and Jeannie Narum, my choir director here at the senior high choir. They made it so much fun. They gave me something that has lasted a lifetime. The joy of singing. That's one of the things that is so wonderful when I come here, is I get to sing my heart out. And thank you. Thank you to those people like Carolyn and Jeannie.
And just Jeannie and Millie Berg.
There are so many people to thank who have been an important part of this congregation. Another one was Halder Bly, who was my scoutmaster.
Wonderful.
And he gave so much of his time. And that troop was sponsored by St. John's Lutheran uh-huh. Church. Still meets here today, still sponsored by St. John's, all these years later. And that gave me an entire lifetime of love for nature, love for the outdoors. Uh-huh. I mean, these people, Pastor Loyal Golf, back then his name was spelled L-O-G-O-L-F, golf, like hitting a golf ball.
Yeah.
And he changed it to Golv later in his life, G-O-L-V, which was more the Scandinavian spelling.
Right.
Well, when I was in confirmation here, and I went through that, and it was ninth grade, and it was just about time to get confirmed, and I went to his office, and I said, I'm not sure that I should be confirmed, because there are all these things I have doubts about, and some of this doctrine, and some of this just doesn't seem quite right, and you know, I have my reservations about those things. And you know, Loyal, as kind of conservative and straight-laced a person as he was, he had some wisdom. And he talked me through these doubts to where I was able, through that conversation with him, to have a lifetime of embracing dynamic doubt as part of my faith. That was such a blessing that a very wise man named Loyal Golf gave to me.
Yes.
Rather than trying to browbeat me into believing everything literally,
yeah,
he gave me that spiritual freedom of having dynamic doubt as part of a strong part of faith.
Wow.
It's just, these are the things that brought me back to St. John's. You know, I went to the United Church of Christ across town because my wife felt more comfortable there, even though she grew up here at St. John's. And so we went there, and it was a good place to be also. But, you know, there was a time not so long afterwards where I needed to return to my roots here at St. John's. And so it's been a wonderful return these many years.
Wow, what a story. You have some real wonderful details to share from your childhood here and growing into...
Well, that's because I've been so lucky. I've been so blessed to have all these wonderful people bring me along through life, through faith. And when I was terribly confused and sick after college, I was chemically dependent. I was an alcoholic, and I was addicted to marijuana, and I spent two years after I graduated from St. Olaf College, living in an apartment in the house next door to the church here, which the house no longer exists, but, and when I sobered up, when I finally got myself into Alcoholics Anonymous in the group that met in the basement fireplace room of this church, I knew it met there. And finally, one day, I thought, well, I was at my wit's end. I had tried quitting on my own for 2 years, but I knew this group met in the basement of St. John's Lutheran Church. So one Tuesday night, I think it was, I wandered in there and I found a fellowship of people who were interested in taking a different path in life, in recovering from their alcoholism. And for me, it was also the drugs. But word kind of got to the church. I don't know, I must have been talking about it with somebody or something, that yes, I was embarking on this road to recovery from chemical dependency. And I was sort of at loose ends. I was hurting for a job, and it was winter, and the church reached out to me and threw me a lifeline that I will ever be grateful for. They offered me a job as the custodian here at St. John's when I had nothing. You know, as the old saying, I didn't have a pot to pee in. And they knew me, and the custodian, Mr. Steinberg, had just died, and they needed a custodian. And they already had Lorene Elg helping them part-time.
I remember
Lorene. But I was given this job, and I didn't know a thing about being a custodian, but I went and got my steam boiler operator's license, and I spent 2 years as a custodian here at St. John's. Oh. And that allowed me to kind of get my life back together while I was sobering up.
Yes.
So this church, you know, it threw me a lifeline with that job that kind of saved my life along with Alcoholics Anonymous. How great is that?
Yeah.
And, you know, so this church has made itself, its space available for things like that, that were incredibly important in my life.
And to your, to add to that, you accepted the lifeline.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
They didn't only offer, but you accepted.
Well, and, you know, everybody who was on staff here at that time was so welcoming and supportive. It was just fantastic. I could not have had it better.
And you were ready.
I was ready.
Yeah.
I was so sick of my behavior and what I had become. I remember standing in the bathroom of that apartment in the house next door to the church here and looking in the mirror when I would shave. And it was the time of day I absolutely hated because I had to look myself in the mirror. And I knew I wasn't what I wanted to be. I didn't want to be a drunk. I didn't want to be a drug addict. But I was caught in it. I was trapped. And between Alcoholics Anonymous and the grace of the church giving me this job, I got sobered up, and it's been almost 44 years since I had that first meeting in the basement of this church.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah is right.
Yeah. does it still, just out of curiosity, still meet here at church? And do you still attend?
I do not think it does. I've been not very active in Alcoholics Anonymous for the last 30 years. I was very active for 10, 15 years. Uh-huh. And that was a wonderful thing. And then I got married, and my family became my support system. I kind of drifted away from the meetings. Uh-huh. But I've always appreciated what Alcoholics Anonymous did for me. And the role at St. John's played by providing a place for those meetings.
Yes, yes. And you were close by, and...
Yeah.
Things
I was.
Yes, was, turned out well.
I was so lucky.
Yeah. Well, what other roles have you played here at St. John's Lake?
Well, one of the wonderful experiences of my life was working with Marion Finholt and a group of ladies on having the church school class for the mentally handicapped, which met here on, I think it was Wednesday nights. And so I had, while I was custodian here, I had taken a second job as a school bus driver. So I was both a school bus driver and a church custodian. Well, that meant I had a Class B license. So Marion, when she found this out, I was helping with the church school class for the mentally handicapped, and I ended up driving a school bus over to the Baker School every Wednesday night, picking up the people there from the Baker School, bringing them here, and a few families brought their people here as well. And that was another fabulous experience in my life, the 5 years that I helped do that.
5 years?
Wow. Yeah, and it was so wonderful. Marion, bless her soul, she did that for years and years. So Marion Finholt started, I think she was the one who started this church school class for, you know, at that time we said it was a church school class for retarded. And, you know, the euphemisms have changed over the years. And so that was another wonderful experience. And it led to another thing that was wonderful for me, which was I got to drive a school bus full of the confirmation class, the ninth graders, out to the Atlantic Mountain Bible School out in the Black Hills, because they recruited me to do that because I had the license. So I drove a school bus full of ninth graders out there all the way to the Black Hills, and I participated in everything that week with the kids, just about like I was one of the campers, and it was one of the best weeks of my life.
Wow.
You know, so this is just part of what's been important for me with this church.
Yeah.
So any other things you want me to...
Well, wonderful. It's such a rich story about St. John's for so many years.
In more recent years, what I've enjoyed doing is helping with the landscape around here, because I'm a nurseryman and landscaper. So when they put the addition on the church here about 15, 20 years ago, we did that. We donated that landscaping. And now I spend a little bit of time each year renovating little areas of the landscape around here, because landscapes need renovation from time to time.
Ooh, yes.
And so we did a little area up by the west entry this past season. Now I'm going to do a little area south of the canopy, this small canopy over here on the west entry. That needs to be torn out and redone. And we replaced one thing there this year. So Pastor Pam loves flowering plant material. So we are putting in more flowering plant materials. Uh-huh. So out on the west side here, we put some hydrangea trees, and each one of those hydrangea trees are, I in my mind, designated as being in memory of somebody. One of them is in memory of Millie Burke. And one of them is in memory of Gert Brose, who was a member here for many years and whose husband helped me get going in my nursery business by arranging. Will Brose helped me get a lease on those acres across the road from the college so that I could have a nursery down there. And I always remembered that. Will helped. And so when Gert passed away, I told Will, we're going to plant one out here for Gert. Wonderful. So one of those trees is Gert Brose's tree.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Do they have labels by
they
them?
They do not. The church has decided they don't want to have labels by trees, which is fine. What matters is that the families know.
And you know.
And I know.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
And so every year I get to do something to spruce up the church, uh-huh. and it gives me joy.
Yes.
So, and they let me do it.
with much gratitude, I'm sure.
Well, you know.
Absolutely, with much gratitude.
And one of the things I learned here was the joy of giving. There aren't very many things in life that give you more joy than the joy of giving. And that's something that was supported here at St. John's, uh-huh. and by many other people and many other venues in my life as well. So I'm glad I get to keep doing a little something.
Yes, absolutely. Well, what wonderful stories you've shared from... just now I was going back to although your parents weren't involved, as you said, but somehow they wanted you to be involved. And from that gesture, even though you threw your dime at the grounds at Longfellow, they had some kind of urging. Maybe the Holy Spirit was calling them to reach out. And well, send you. That was the start of it.
Whatever the reason was, you know, my parents were good-hearted people. They had hearts that thought about other people other than themselves. Partly because, in my dad's case, the immigrant experience was only a couple generations removed from him. His grandfather, Nils Stahl, built a sod hut on the North Dakota prairie and raised 14 children.
Whoa.
And one of those children was Leif Dahl, who was the only one who went on to college, became a college professor, taught French down at Westminster College in Fulton, Missouri, and my dad idolized him and took after him and also became a French teacher. So there's this immigrant heritage on both sides of my family. Mm. And so my parents always preached the ethic of remembering the people in the world who are suffering from war and dislocation and oppression and all of those things. That was a very spiritual thing.
Yes.
They weren't much about, you know, the trappings of spirituality in an official church, but they had it in their hearts. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and they sent you here.
Yes.
And you blossomed and you grew and took advantage of every...
Despite the fact I had this turmoil in me about that, that they weren't involved and I was sent, it all worked out. And why? Because big-hearted people were here, mm-hmm. and they shared that with me.
Yes. You kept being drawn here.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, yes.
And, you know, there were plenty of rough patches. Plenty of times when my behavior was self-destructive and, you know, where I questioned everything. And, you know, thank God Loyal Golf taught me the virtue of dynamic doubt. I mean, dynamic doubt, I wish there would be more talk about how incredibly powerful that is in this world. And it can be applied to a lot of things beyond religion as well. So
you should teach a class, an adult ed class.
Well, I would be willing to talk about that at a forum or something.
It's something that's part of your soul.
It is. Yeah. It is. So.
Well, as we think about closing in on our discussion here, Leif, what do you hope for St. John's in the future?
My hope is to see St. John's follow a path that revitalizes this congregation. This congregation has taken some very important steps forward in these last 10 or 15 years by more formally declaring itself a place of welcome for people, every kind of person that exists in the world, no matter whether it's male or female, or what your ethnic background, or your sexual orientation, or anything, everybody is welcome. And the church has declared that. And as a result, there have been some people who drifted away because they couldn't handle the idea of welcoming gay people or something other than. And that is a heavy price that we've paid by having some people leave our congregation. Mm-hmm. We have to stay the path and find a way to bring in new young blood into this congregation. And I think we have to change. I think we have to change to a more dynamic way of engaging with people. And it sounds sort of crass, but we have to be better salesmen for this congregation. There are a lot of different things that attract people to different organizations and different venues. I think we are just scratching the surface. And I think, you know, like some of the more fundamentalist churches in our area are doing a much better job of outreach. And I think we need to learn some lessons from those folks. Right now, as we speak, there's a full-size billboard on Highway 3 that is encouraging people to come to the Canvas Church and change their life, experience it. When was the last time we had a billboard?
If ever.
We need to advertise. There is so much here that is rich and rewarding. It's very different from what that particular church engages in. And I guess if it's good for certain people to follow that brand, that style, fine. But let's us reach out and be proud of what we are and be proud of the way we welcome everybody. We need, that's what I hope for our church. Mm-hmm. I sat in church here a few weeks ago, I think it was the All Saints Sunday, and I saw the list of these stalwarts who had passed away. The people who were really the strength and fiber of this church. And there were 28 of them in 1 year that we lost. Mm-hmm. And only 4 baptisms. That is alarming. Yes. And I want to see us change that. So.
How can we do that?
I'm not sure, but I am pretty sure of one thing. We need to have some brainstorming sessions where every possible idea is thrown out there on the table. And you know that when you do this, 90% of them are going to end up having some real shortcomings. But if we don't throw them all on the table from all kinds of people in our congregation, we're going to miss the boat. We need to hear from almost everybody in this congregation about how we're going to rejuvenate, bring in new members, add a little more pizzazz. I mean, what we have here is so rich in terms of the talent and the liturgy and the music, and not only, you know, and of course the message that's being sent, but we need to do a better job of making it a place that attracts people. So.
Wonderful ideas.
Okay. I don't need to carry on anymore about that.
It's quite okay. I asked.
Okay.
Is there anything you'd like to share? Anything that we haven't talked about or that I haven't asked that you'd like to add?
You know, I think I have covered just about every single thing I want to on this, but I do want to mention one couple who are members of this congregation who have been incredibly important in my life the last few years. When my wife, we got to be friends with John and Gordine Gorder, who spent almost 25 years as missionaries in different parts of the world and served congregations here in the United States. And they have been a lifeline for me and my wife. They're still doing their mission work, and the mission work they do is at the hospitality of their table in their home, where they invite us to break bread with them. And my wife had a battle with cancer here over the last couple, 2.5 years. And they just were absolute saviors for us during this difficult time. So John and Gordine are another blessing that was brought to us partly by our membership here at St. John's.
Yeah. Yes. You've had some wonderful, influential people.
Yeah.
Has sprung from your relationship to St. John's.
And it's just, you know, the key is recognizing the blessings that come our way.
Yes.
John and Gordine were an incredible blessing for us during my wife's illness, and they're wonderful friends. And this church has done a lot of that kind of thing for us too, so. I want it all to continue as long as possible. Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much for sharing your St. John's story and your family story as part of the St. John's Lutheran Church sesquicentennial. Appreciate it very much.
You're welcome. Thanks, Judy.